Rama's six linear suns were once more continuous bands of light. But they were fading fast, and sometimes they flickered, as if tremendous jolts of energy were being drained from waning power sources. From time to time, there were slight tremors underfoot. The bridge reported that Rama was still swinging with imperceptible slowness, like a compass needle responding to a weak magnetic field. This was perhaps reassuring. It was when Rama stopped its swing that Norton would really begin to worry. All the Byats had gone, so Pieter reported. In the whole interior of Rama, the only movement was that of human beings, crawling with painful slowness up the curving face of the North Dome. Norton had long since overcome the vertigo he had felt on that first ascent, but now a new fear was beginning to creep into his mind. They were so vulnerable here, on this endless climb from plane to hub. Suppose that, when it had completed its attitude change, Rama started to accelerate. Presumably its thrust would be along the axis. If it was in the northward direction, that would be no problem. They would be held a little more firmly against the slope which they were ascending. But if it was towards the south, they might be swept off into space to fall back eventually on the plain far below. He tried to reassure himself with the thought that any possible acceleration would be very feeble. Dr. Pereira's calculations had been most convincing. Rama could not possibly accelerate at more than a 50th of a gravity, or the cylindrical sea would climb the southern cliff and flood an entire continent. But Pereira had been in a comfortable study back on Earth, not with kilometers of overhanging metal apparently about to crash down upon his head. And perhaps Rama was designed for periodic flooding. No, that was ridiculous. It was absurd to imagine that all these trillions of tons could suddenly start moving with sufficient acceleration to shake him loose. Nevertheless, for all the remainder of the ascent, Norton never let himself get far from the security of the handrail. Lifetimes later, the stairway ended. Only a few hundred meters of vertical, recessed ladder were left. It was no longer necessary to climb this section, since one man at the hub, hauling on a cable, could easily hoist another against the rapidly diminishing gravity. Even at the bottom of the ladder, a man weighed less than 5 kilos. At the top, practically zero. So Norton relaxed in the sling, grasping a rung from time to time to counter the feeble Coriolis force still trying to push him off the ladder. He almost forgot his knotted muscles as he had his last view of Rama. It was about as bright now as a full moon on Earth. The overall scene was perfectly clear, but he could no longer make out the finer details. The South Pole was now particularly obscured by a glowing mist. Only the peak of Big Horn protruded through it, a small black dot seen exactly head-on. The carefully mapped but still unknown continent beyond the sea was the same apparently random patchwork that it had always been. It was too foreshortened and too full of complex detail to reward visual examination, and Norton scanned it only briefly. He swept his eyes round the encircling band of the sea and noticed for the first time a regular pattern of disturbed water, as if waves were breaking over reefs set at geometrically precise intervals. Rama's maneuvering was having some effect, but a very slight one. He was sure that Sergeant Barnes would have sailed forth happily under these conditions had he asked her to cross the sea in her lost resolution. New York, London, Paris, Moscow, Rome. He said farewell to all the cities of the northern continent and hoped the Ramans would forgive him for any damage he had done. Perhaps they would understand that it was all in the cause of science. Then, suddenly, he was at the hub, and eager hands reached out to grab him and to hurry him through the airlocks. His overstrained legs and arms were trembling so uncontrollably that he was almost unable to help himself, and he was content to be handled like a half-paralyzed invalid. The sky of Rama contracted above him as he descended into the central crater of the hub. As the door of the inner airlock shut off the view forever, he found himself thinking, how strange that night should be falling now that Rama is closest to the sun.